Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by San Francisco State University's graduate business programs offering 5 accredited advanced degrees, the SF State MBA, rigorous, real-world, respected, open house schedule, and more information at mba.sfsu.edu.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson in for Rachel Miro. Senators Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer are among 26 U.S. senators calling for the Susan G. Komen Foundation to reconsider its decision to cut breast cancer screening grants to Planned Parenthood. Meanwhile, in a joint letter to the state's congressional delegation, all 7 of the Komen Foundation affiliate offices in California said they were strongly opposed to the policy change and working to overturn it. Advocates for the deaf are suing news network CNN for not providing closed captions for its online videos. CNN is trying to get the case dismissed, but at a hearing yesterday in Oakland, federal court judge Laurel Beeler gave strong indications she would let the case move forward. Patricia Hughes heads the Greater Los Angeles Agency on Deafness, a plaintiff in the suit. Hughes said through an interpreter, deaf people depend on the internet just like everyone else.
So we had a big fire in Los Angeles, and our pagers said, breaking news from CNN, watch online. So we all went to watch, and there was no captioning. We felt like we're second-class citizens.
Attorneys for CNN have argued that requiring the network to caption online videos violates its free speech rights. The next big piece of California's groundbreaking climate strategy is to clean up fuels we use, reducing the greenhouse gases that cause global warming. But like some of the state's previous climate efforts, this one is caught up in the courts. As part of our Climate Watch project, Thibault Wirth explains why.
I'm at a gas station in San Francisco doing what millions of Californians do every day, fueling up my car. Gasoline and diesel fuel like this contain carbon. When burned, fossil fuels release carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, but a lot more carbon has already been released in getting the gas to this pump.
For a century, this economy has been based on petroleum.
That's Stanley Young, a spokesman with the California Air Resources Board.
The question is, how do we drive the development of cleaner fuels? And how do we move the economy away from its dependence on petroleum?
The answer, argues the Air Board, is the Low Carbon Fuel Standard, which the agency spent 2 years drafting as part of the state's sweeping climate strategy passed in 2006. The complex regulation calls for a 10% reduction in the average carbon intensity of fuels by the end of the decade. But what does that mean? It's not just the carbon contained in the fuel. The low-carbon fuel standard uses a so-called life cycle calculation. That means it takes into account greenhouse gas emissions produced in extracting, refining, transporting, and burning fossil fuels. In the case of biofuels, such as ethanol, the standard counts the carbon produced in cultivating crops, refining, and transport. The goal is to gradually reduce the carbon intensity of fuel, reaching a 10% cut by 2020. Regulators say the standard is feasible. The oil industry disagrees.
It's feasible for all of us to go to the moon, but we don't because it's too costly.
Kathy Rehise-Boyd is president of the Western States Petroleum Association, an oil industry trade group.
I mean, yeah, anything's feasible if you put aside any kind of reality about its impacts or unintended consequences, anything's feasible.
One of those unintended consequences is the complexity of counting carbon along a supply chain. Retailers have already experienced this problem. For several years, Walmart has tried to calculate the carbon dioxide produced by its suppliers and put a carbon label on the packaging of its products. But the effort has proved daunting.
The difficulty with carbon accounting is the deeper you go, the more complicated it gets.
Michael Canellos is a green technology analyst with the consulting firm Eastwick.
How do you start counting how many gallons of gas your supplier used, or whether they used electricity that was primarily produced with hydroelectric dams or coal? Pretty soon it becomes it's an entire job just to figure out what your suppliers did. And then they have to go back in time and figure out where they got their packaging from, how their car was put together. And it's an almost an infinite math problem the further and further you go.
Regulators say that the low-carbon fuel standard will stimulate research and development into the next generation of low-carbon biofuels. But oil industry critics say there still may not be enough biofuel to blend in with standard gas and diesel. the Petroleum Association's Rehice Boyd.
As you ramp up, if you are not able to comply, what does that mean? What is CARB's plan when you can't comply? They don't have a plan.
But Young of the Air Board says dozens of small California energy startups are already using everything from algae to garbage to produce biofuels. And while no process is yet commercially viable, Young says the low carbon fuel standard will stimulate investment and fuel production.
This isn't a question of unfounded faith. We know that well-developed regulations like the low carbon fuel standard are already driving innovation, research that will create new processes and the next generation of biofuels.
But it's the current generation of biofuels companies, Midwestern ethanol producers, that have taken the regulation to court alongside oil companies. Their complaint? That California is overstepping its bounds, trying to regulate a product that often crosses state lines in that journey to the pump. For the California Report, I'm Thibault Wirth.
Some 1,300 parishioners, priests, and nuns from around the state attended a Mass Thursday in Fresno to welcome a new bishop to the community. Armando Ochoa is the second Latino bishop to head the Fresno Diocese, which extends across eight Central Valley counties. An estimated 40% of San Joaquin Valley residents are Roman Catholic, a majority of them Latino.
This candle, which is the Lord, is taken today into our homes, into the marketplace, and into our communities, in our vineyards, and certainly in the fields.
Born in Oxnard to Mexican immigrant parents, Ochoa comes to the job from El Paso. As bishop there, he was an advocate of rights of immigrants. He also served for nearly a decade as an auxiliary bishop in Los Angeles. That's the California Report for Friday, February 3rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Howard Gelman, with Danny Bringer and additional engineering by Seal Muller. Nina Thorson directed the show. Our interns are Andres Barraza and Liz Reed. The editor is Dan Brecky, with help this week from Pat Flynn and Kat Snow. The senior online editor is Gabriel Cohn. The producer is Victoria Malion. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as preventing network intrusions and data theft by hackers. Barracuda.com.